Moving on down, we explore the draft status of Justin Jefferson in this episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters, longtime presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com for details on their 11 Bay Area locations, store hours, easy online ordering. Remember, they have the new sauce for the summer, Mango Habanero, available on all their variety of wings, as well as the new breaded tenders. I can also attest to them offering neutrals for just under $5 per can, as they offer Bud Light, and Mick Ultra drafts for under $5 per pint. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. I was very fortunate to be invited to a fun annual fantasy draft. I participated in this league once prior to COVID, as it is run by a former Channel 10 Tampa Bay videographer who basically has his own videography business or company now. His son, a very sharp young man, plays in my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, along with the great Dave Wirth, who was with Channel 10 for 31 years on the news desk, on the sports desk, is a Todd Wright Tour Hall of Famer and a longtime friend. Dave plays in one of my leagues. There are other people in and out of this league over the years that I have worked with, or I know the former media/PR director of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays / Tampa Bay Rays, Rick Vaughn, also involved with this league, a longtime co-worker, friend I don't get to see, and one of the funniest guys I've ever met, Tom Sipos, involved in this league, Mike Neighbors, who I do TV with on Spectrum, and just on from there. They do a 14-team league, so I went simply to observe and see some good people. They actually put me to work, which I didn't love, but I was happy to help. It made me stay longer than I wanted to stay, but maybe there was something good that ultimately comes out of that. But as it relates to the draft itself, found something extremely interesting. I'm going to run through their first four rounds. Remember, this is a 14-team draft. 14. They play mandatory tight end. They do play PPR. And there are some other things that they do, but I should let you know those things off the top. But the most important thing, I'm not exposed to a lot of 14-team drafts. I don't want to be involved with 14-team leagues because they are, to me, very, very difficult. I like being able to find players on the waiver wire early in the season and then as the season goes on. And in a 14-team league, that is next to impossible. So here was their first round. I'm just going to run through these. You can pluck out of it what you want. And then we're going to take one specific thing and do a deep dive. First round went four running backs in a row, which that's, first of all, news to me. That's not the deep dive we're going to do. But McCaffrey, Hall, Barkley, Robinson went 1-4. Then Lamb, Hill, Jonathan Taylor went next. Josh Allen, Amon-Ra, Jalen Hurts, Kyren Williams, Achane, Mahomes, and Chase. So there's your 14 players in the first round. Keep in mind, 14-team league. Second round, Derrick Henry, Pacheco, Gibbs, Lamar Jackson, Etienne, Jefferson, Jacobs, let me flip my screen here, Stroud, Cook, Brown, A.J. Brown, Purdy, Mixon, I know. Let me keep going. Nakua, Kelsey. Third round went Garrett Wilson. It's about the lowest I've seen Garrett Wilson go, but that's not our deep dive. Andrews, Love, Harrison Jr. That's pretty low for him, isn't it? Laporta, Prescott. I think that's Zamir White. Next. Evans, Walker, Mostert, Kamara, DJ Moore, Montgomery. Can't make out this one. There's a little light on it. Oh, Deebo Samuel, end of third round. Start of fourth round, Burrow. There's Zamir White. Who is the other White? Sorry about that. Oh, it was Rashad White went in the third round. Zamir White goes in the fourth round as the second pick. Then Collins, Metcalf, Devontae Smith, Richardson, Kittle. Deshaun Watson. No, that's not Deshaun Watson. That is Christian Watson going after Kittle. Then Najee Harris, James Conner, Zach Moss, Chris Olave, Brandon Ayuk. 14-team league, 13th pick of the fourth round. Then DeAndre Swift. Cooper Kupp went first pick of the fifth round. I'm looking for other highlights. Devontae Adams went sixth pick of the fifth round. That's by my friend's son. He's sharp. That's a good selection there. Okay, we'll stop there. So what do you think is my highlight? I know there's a number of them there, but what do you think we're going to do the deep dive on? Okay. So as I left, after saying goodbye to a lot of really good people that I wish I saw more of, Dave Wirth says to me, Todd, before you go, he's standing there with his son, Dan. And Dave says, Todd, am I missing something? How did I get Justin Jefferson in the second round with the 20th overall pick? That was Dave Wirth's final words to me as I walked out of this draft. Without hesitation, I said, Dave, no idea. He's like, is something wrong? Dave, that's the lowest I've ever seen him go this year in any of my research. Good selection. I'll see you soon, because Dave's going to be involved in one of my drafts on Labor Day weekend. So let's do the deep dive off that. Justin Jefferson in a league that has been around for a long time with some talented fantasy players. Justin Jefferson in a 14-team league. Is it because it was 14 teams? More of a premium on getting running backs early? You heard all the quarterbacks go. That Justin Jefferson lasted until ADP 20? Well, not ADP, but it was the 20th player selected overall. As of the time of this podcast, I'm looking at the free research available on fantasyfootballcalculator.com, and I'm looking at ADP, 14 teams, all players, over nearly 1,000 mock drafts in the previous 48 hours, and they have Jefferson, a first-round pick, at number 9. Yeah, between Amon-Ra and Saquon Barkley. And, of course, Barkley went early in that run on running backs. But that alone doesn't push Jefferson down to the 20th overall selection. The ADP 20, as I look at this right now, is Deebo Samuel. That's four wide receivers after Justin Jefferson. So maybe it's a 14-team league. Maybe there's something else in play here, but first of all, we're a year removed from Justin Jefferson being in the argument for number one overall. Matthew Berry, I guess, is still arguing that he should or could go number one overall, or he would have no problem with it. We talked about this in a previous podcast, how Barry said there's five players, and if you come away with any of them in the first couple of picks overall in your draft, you should be happy. McCaffrey and four receivers, and Jefferson was one of the four. So why did I just witness? This isn't like an anti-Vikings group. You all know I live in Central Florida. They don't hate the Vikings. They don't hate Justin Jefferson. I don't know how many owners have scar tissue. I'm sure the owner who had him last year probably wasn't drafting him this year because he got hurt. Okay, that's one. That doesn't seem to premeditate the entire league letting Jefferson fall to 20th overall. So this has to be, in addition to he got hurt last year, this, in part, is due to Kirk Cousins no longer being Jefferson's quarterback and Sam Darnold now being Justin Jefferson's quarterback. So let's talk about Sam Darnold a bit. And we talk about him not for fantasy purposes, but his correlation with Justin Jefferson. Sam Darnold, third overall pick of the 2018 draft of the New York Jets, played three seasons in New York, then traded to the Carolina Panthers for two seasons, then spent last year as a backup with the San Francisco 49ers to Brock Purdy after the Niners ran out of healthy arms in the NFC Championship game the year before. It was a one-year deal, and the Minnesota Vikings signed him presumably on a one-year $10 million deal this year to bridge the gap between losing Kirk Cousins and playing a rookie in J.J. McCarthy, who unfortunately is already done for the year. So it's Darnold. We had heard all along it was his job, and it might be his job either until he lost it or until midseason, and then with the McCarthy meniscus tear and repair. It's Darnold's job. Sam Darnold's career numbers. First year with the Jets, he started 13 games. Threw for 2865, 17 touchdowns, 15 picks. 2019, started 13 games. Threw for 3,024 yards, 19 touchdowns, 13 picks. 2020, Jets, threw for 2208, 12 starts, 9 touchdowns, 11 picks. Traded to Carolina, started 11 games, threw for 2527, 9 touchdowns, 13 picks. Ran for 222 and 5 touchdowns, first year in Carolina. 2022, Carolina started 6 games, was the backup to Baker Mayfield, who they had brought in, 1143 passing in those six games he played in, 7 touchdowns, 3 picks, ran for 106. He ran for 217, by the way, his last year with the Jets. Last year with San Francisco, he played one game. They played him the last game where they sat many of their starters, including Brock Purdy. He was 28 of 46. In that specific game, let's see what he was. 16 of 26 for 189 and a touchdown passing and a touchdown rushing. Niners lose to Rams 21-20. Okay. The numbers aren't impressive. Nothing flies off the page there other than at one point in 2021 with Carolina, Darnold was a real running threat. It didn't last very long. But he was using his legs more than ever. 5 rushing touchdowns. A lot of picks, right? In his career, he has 63 passing touchdowns. He has 56 picks. In his career, completion percentage is a tick under 60%. In his career, yards per attempt, highest in the 6 games he started with Carolina in 2022 at 8.2. Career average 6.7. Nothing about the yardage is that wow. Never Never 20 touchdowns or more in any season, even though in four seasons he started 11 games or more. He takes a lot of sacks. First year with the Jets, took 30 sacks. Next year, 33. Next year, 35. Next year, 35. That's a lot. Fumbled a lot. 14 career fumbles lost. 38 career fumbles in the 6 years. So I don't see a lot here to get excited about. Now let's talk about, let's explore the other side of this. Let's work backwards. Kyle Shanahan brought in Sam Darnold last year in case Brock Purdy went down, which, fortunate for Purdy, the Niners, he didn't. But there were, any chance Shanahan got, he talked about Sam Darnold and how comfortable he was with Sam Darnold under center. Kyle Shanahan clearly has a flaw in Super Bowls, but I think we would all agree he's one of the better offensive minds out there. He works directly with quarterbacks. He has a specific offensive system that works. I don't think he brings in Sam Darnold with Super Bowl aspirations if he doesn't feel comfortable with Darnold under center. Is some of that hyperbole, hyping up Darnold because of... Of course it is. That's what coaches do until they're out the door, and then maybe it's a different tune. Did he bring him back? No. But was he going to pay him $10 million to be a backup to Brock Purdy like the Vikings paid him to start, or be a bridge to a rookie quarterback? No. So now let's go all the way back to the beginning on Darnold. 3 years with the New York Jets, 2 years with the Carolina Panthers. Do those two franchises do anything for you? Granted, Carolina's been to one Super Bowl, and they've had other runs to conference title games. But recently, under that owner, maybe the worst, you can argue, the worst owner in the National Football League. And that was, Darnold was there 3 years ago, around the time that man took over. All right, but let's start with the Jets. Darnold drafted into the Jets, would we all agree, one of the shittiest franchises in the NFL. They've done nothing since win Super Bowl III. They've not gone back to the Super Bowl. Parcells got him to an AFC title game. I think Rex Ryan got him to an AFC title game. That's pretty much it. They are one of the worst franchises. I just said Carolina has the worst owner. The Jets are one of the worst franchises in the NFL the last 50 plus years. Sam Darnold's head coach in 2018, his rookie season, Todd Bowles, who has nothing to do with offense. Nothing. Wants nothing to do with it. Has no involvement. Probably had very little interaction with Sam Darnold at all. So that's who Darnold had as his head coach the first year. Offensive coordinator, Jeremy Bates, who since Bowles and the entire staff were fired at the end of 2018, Jeremy Bates has not worked a football coaching position. Kind of a Byron Leftwich, if you will. Funny how those seem connected to Bowles. Because then Bowles goes to the Bucks, Byron Leftwich is fired, and Leftwich unemployed. So first year in the league, you're the number three overall pick for a shitty franchise, and your head coach is Todd Bowles, who was fired at the end of the year, who doesn't care anything about offense or quarterbacks, and your OC is Jeremy Bates, who ever since has not had another coaching job of any significance. And your top receiver was Robbie Anderson. That's what Darnold had. Okay, 2019, Adam Gase comes in. Unlike Bowles, Gase from the offensive side of the ball came from Miami. Gase was a disaster. Terrible head coach. His offensive coordinator for those 2 years was someone called Doel Loganes, who in recent years has gone to Arkansas and then South Carolina as an offensive assistant coach in varying degrees. While Robbie Anderson was still there, Darnold got the last year of Demaryius Thomas, which wasn't great, and Braxton Berrios, that's who he had to throw to. In 2020, they also had Jamison Crowder, along with Denzel Mims and failed free agent Breshad Perriman. That's what Darnold had to work with in New York his 3 years. His head coaches, Robbie Anderson, Adam Gase. His offensive coordinators, granted Gase called the plays, but his offensive coordinators, Jeremy Bates, Doel Loganes. And his receivers were a combination of Robbie Anderson, Braxton Berrios, Demaryius Thomas, Denzel Mims, Breshad Perriman, Jamison Crowder. Okay. Jets trade Darnold to Carolina to Matt Rhule, head coach. Rhule fires OC Joe Brady midseason. Brady now the new longtime offensive coordinator of the new offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, taking over for Ken Dorsey midseason last year, and things went well. In 2020, Rhule comes back. He was fired like 5 weeks into the season as head coach. Steve Wilks takes over. Wilks is a defensive guy, cares nothing about offense, probably as little as Bowles did. Ben McAdoo was original OC. I don't know if he went out the door with Rhule, but there you have an idea of what Darnold had there, although Darnold was benched to start the season for Baker Mayfield, then came in later in the season. When Darnold was the starter in 2021, Robbie Anderson again, and DJ Moore, who that year, all right, so let's end on this note. DJ Moore's 1 year with Sam Darnold starting 11 games. Here were DJ Moore's numbers that year: 93 receptions, 1,157 yards, and 4 touchdowns. If there's anything I just gave you that might be most connected to what Justin Jefferson might do with Sam Darnold, maybe it's that, because I think we'd agree DJ Moore is a good to very good NFL wide receiver. And in a year where Darnold started 11 games, DJ Moore caught 93 balls for 1,157 yards and 4 touchdowns. The 4 touchdowns is a low number. Sam Darnold's touchdowns passing are low. They're too low. But back to Justin Jefferson. I think we all believe Justin Jefferson is one of the top receivers in the National Football League. He makes things happen. And if DJ Moore can catch nearly 100 balls for over 1,100 yards and 4 touchdowns with Sam Darnold starting 3/4 of that season, is it fair to think Justin Jefferson can put up Justin Jefferson-like numbers? Maybe a dip in TDs because Darnold doesn't throw enough TDs? But does that merit Justin Jefferson going at his current ADP of 9 based on the fantasy football calculator data, or in the recent 14-team draft I observed and attended that has been around for a long time, going 20th overall? I'm inclined, I'll end with this. I would draft Justin Jefferson as one of my top receivers in the draft. And I would love if he fell to me, if I was picking near the end of the first round or somewhere early to middle, as it was the case in this draft I observed, in the second round. I don't feel that Jefferson's current ADP or his continued fall due to any of the available evidence is justified, and that many of the players going in front of him should not be. What do you think? Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.